indeed. Free indeed. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Praise God. Well, we're enjoying together the wonderful life that we have as a son of God. Is that right? And not only are we a son of God, but we are in the Son. We're in the Son. We're actually in Jesus. And Jesus, the Son of God, is in us, in our spirits. Is that wonderful? See, he's not asked you and me to live as a son of God by ourselves. God the Father has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts so that we can truly live as sons of God. Is it wonderful? Praise God. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you here today. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you what he wants to show you. Jesus. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. What the Holy Spirit shows you lasts forever. Once he ministers something to you, it's there forever, never to be dislodged. Praise God. Praise God. So this life as a son of God is to be discovered. It's to be discovered. I was thinking, see, when we're born naturally, as a little babe there, you don't even know you have parents, do you? You have to grow. You grow up into the realization, oh, there's Dad. There's Mum. My parents, when I was born, they were waiting to see which of the two names would come out first, Dada or Mama. Guess what came out? Baba. We're looking after number one from word go. we're born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Is that right? So you have to discover. So the Lord says, right, you're my son, you're born again, you're my son. You know changes have taken place, but you have to start looking into the word. What does this really mean? So that we can live in all the benefits of what God has got for us. So I read two scriptures here, Galatians 4 and verse 6. Because you are sons, I'm not trying to be a son, not trying to rise to the position of a son. Because you are sons of God, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying out, Abba, Father. Now, because we've got Jesus, the Son, inside us, we find ourselves, Father. We've been awakened by the Spirit of Christ in us that our Heavenly Father is our Father who loves us and looks after us. Is it wonderful? So what we're going to look at is, what effect does this powerful Spirit of Christ have in me? I mean, there's going to be some dramatic change. If you have the Spirit of Christ living inside you, there's some dramatic changes take place. You can't be born again. You can't belong to Christ and not know all about it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Romans 8 and verse 2. We're asking the question, you see, what effect does this powerful Spirit of Christ living inside me have on me, have in my life? So Romans 8 and verse 2. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, when we see the law there, it means a principle, or it means the working of. So the working of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the working of sin and death. Praise God. Has made me free. So the Spirit of Christ in me has made me free from the working of sin and death. In other words, from the effects of sin and death. Is that good? Has made me free. He's done it. Has made me free from the law of sin and death. this spirit, as we've been looking these weeks, this spirit of eternal life in Christ Jesus has made me eternally free. Eternally free as I live in Christ Jesus. Because eternal life never changes. Why does it not change? Because it's eternal. You see, but everything of the life doesn't change, cannot change. Amen. So the freedom from sin and death never changes. It's as permanent as Christ himself is. The freedom from sin and death is as permanent as Christ himself is and is on offer for you and me to live in. Praise God. I mean, does God force any of his blessings on anyone? No, it's all gift. So it's up to you and me to say, I'll have that, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord, I'll have that. I'll receive that permanent, eternal freedom from sin and death. I'll receive it. To as many as received him, he gave the power, the freedom to be called children of God. The scripture doesn't say, I'm trying to be free. It doesn't say a believer is trying to be free. It doesn't say that it's your efforts that makes you free or keeps you free. So where does the freedom from sin and death come from? If it's not through my efforts, where does it come from? Romans 8:2. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It's the working of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that brings me into eternal freedom in Christ. Is it wonderful? Praise God. When anyone is born again and comes to Christ, you're baptized or plunged into Christ Jesus. You're plunged right into the center of eternal freedom in Christ. See, when you're baptized into Christ, this is not baptism in water. Baptism in water is the outward demonstration of that you believe this. No, you're plunged right into Christ Jesus. You're plunged right into his eternal life. And it's eternal freedom, this life that you and I are plunged into in Christ. Is it wonderful? Now, we want to ask the question here, well, freed from what? What am I freed from? Well, it's just sin and death. In other words, that's everything that would rob or destroy life. Everything that would rob or destroy life that's in this world. He has made me eternally free from sin, from death, and from the pull of this world. He set me eternally free from it. So we're going to look at some of the freedoms together because they're very, very wonderful. Go to Romans 8:1, the verse before that. We're talking about the freedoms. We're talking about what this life in Christ Jesus has made me free from. There is therefore now, Romans 8 verse 1, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. This is part of the freedom. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, if you're born again, you're in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh. Walking according to the flesh means walking without Christ. It's those who are without Christ. The scripture later goes on to say you're not in the flesh if the Spirit of Christ lives in you. Amen. So we don't live a life without Jesus and according to the world. But we live according to the Spirit. We live according to what the Holy Spirit shows us. He's showing us that you are therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. if I'm living by the Spirit, I'm going to live in that truth as well as every other truth. Is he wonderful? Now, there are two groups of people in the earth. One group of them walk in the flesh, in other words, on their own without Christ, and they are guilty, and they are in sin and death, and they're condemned. We don't like to think about this, but you see, if you read on from John 3:16, it goes on to say that that those who have not believed on him are condemned. They're under condemnation. They're walking in sin and death. They are without God and without hope in this world. That's what the scripture says. So it's good to see the contrast. It's good to see the contrast. Lord, you've lifted me right out of all of that. And you've put me into your Son, Christ Jesus. And I'm eternally free from condemnation, guilt and shame because of what you've done for me. Praise God. The ones who continue to live without Christ, they will go on into eternal condemnation if they die without Christ. It's a horrible outcome. We've been lifted right out of that by the grace of God. The wonderful grace of God. Lord Jesus. Because here's what it says, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Pure gift. Anyone who will come and say, I'll receive the gift. Anyone will come and say, Jesus, I'll receive the gift. I'll receive you. Look at the thief on the cross. He just cried out to Jesus. Jesus gave him the gift. This day, he said, you'll be with me in paradise. Hallelujah. It's whoever will receive the gift. Praise God. The Lord says, the reason they won't receive me is because they love the darkness. That's the reason that they won't receive me. They prefer the darkness, and they want to live in the darkness. But Jesus, he's the light. He says, look, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God in Christ Jesus, the gift of God is an eternal life of freedom from sin and death, is an eternal life of freedom from condemnation. Glory to God. I mean, this is well worth exploring this. This is well worth exploring. You see, Jesus was condemned. No, he took all the condemnation. He was condemned to die on a cross. He was condemned to be publicly hanged, disgraced, and shamed because he was removing from you and me the condemnation, the guilt, and the shame forever. Oh, no, it's forever. Is the guilt removed? Forever is the condemnation removed? Forever is the shame removed? That you and I can live in freedom of relationship with the Father. Jesus has taken the whole barrier away. He's taken the whole package of the horrible thing all away so that you and I can now have open-faced relationship with the Father through Jesus. Unbroken, undisturbable, because of the work of Christ on the cross. You see, sin says you're guilty. Sin says you're guilty. So if you're just living in sin without Christ, you're guilty. Is that right? The guilt's not been removed. The guilt can only be removed in Christ. Can you see it? So sin says you're guilty. The law says you're guilty. And if you're guilty, then you're condemned. A condemned person is in bondage. They're tied up. They can't move. Their sin comes back to haunt them. You'll read of people that this happens to. Done some terrible things in life, treated people badly, and they might think they've gotten away with it. But the thing comes back. You're there on your own in the night, maybe in lying down, and the guilt comes back, and the shame comes back because it's not removed. Can you see it? And I've thought back over some things in my life that were shameful, and I thank you, Father, that Lord, that you took that shame, and now the shame is removed, and now I can live open faced between you and me, because of what He's done. Can you see it? So what happens is that the Spirit of Christ Jesus is now in us, in you and me. And if you're walking with Him, He shows you up things that are not right. Is that right? He shows you up, you know, you've been thinking some things and you've been saying some things, and the Lord, He speaks to you and He says, well, you know, that's not really a right way to think. That's not a right way to speak, does He? It's a gentle voice. You don't even have to hear it, because His Spirit in you just convicts you, but you're not condemned. When the Lord shows me some things that are shameful and that are not right, I say, Lord, thank you for showing me that. Now I can live differently, because you've shown it to me, and your grace will help me. And so I'm learning to follow from Him. So the gift, the life of the Spirit, the freedom, the eternal life, it's all in Christ Jesus. No, everything is in Him. And you can't enjoy any of it separate from Him. They're not things that you can take and have. They are graces that continually flow from one person and one person only, namely Christ. That's why you and I have to stay close to Him, so that the loveliness of Him, all the goodness of Him can flow through to us. Praise God. So we're looking at what we're freed from in Christ. I mean, is it wonderful to be freed from condemnation? He's never going to condemn you if you've received Christ. I mean, the scripture, you can read the little bit there in Romans. Isn't it absolutely wonderful where it says, He says, well, who's going to condemn you? He says, is Jesus Christ, who paid, who was condemned in your place, is He going to condemn you? The Father says, am I going to condemn you, who sent Him to pay for the whole thing? And I'm completely satisfied that the price is fully paid. Glory to God. Now I'm not condemned by Jesus. I'm not condemned by the Father. They're my allies to keep me in the life that God wants me to be in, so that I can enjoy the best. Let's look at something else. Romans 8, verse 15. We're talking about the working of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Has made me free. Now look at another wonderful freedom here, Romans 8, 15. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. You didn't receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. That's, none of that comes from me, it says. I've given you something much more powerful than fear. I've adopted you as my son, sat you at my side, so that there might be no fear in your life. Is it wonderful? You see, this scripture here, Romans 8, 15, it tells you that fear is bondage. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Fear ties a person up, and they're never going to be able to move to the right answer. Fear will cause you to make all the wrong choices. It'll cause you to panic and do things that not going to help the situation at all. You know the picture of a hare or a rabbit caught in the headlights of a car? It's frozen there. It can't move because of fear, even though it's about to possibly be run over. Can you see? That's a good picture of what fear does. It freezes you and stops you being able to move into what the Father is going to instruct you as His Son. Hallelujah. Fear is not from God. He's lifted you eternally out of all fear by adopting you as his son. The Spirit of Jesus in you will keep drawing you to Abba Father for the answer. You see, fear brings with it anxiety. Fear brings with it worry. Fear brings with it hopelessness. It's got a lot of horrible relatives, fear has. It brings panic. And if it's lived in, it will eventually bring sickness and depression, if lived in, if you continue with it. You see, so the Holy Spirit's saying, you didn't receive any of that. No bondage to fear. You've not received any of that. You've received the adoption as sons. As a son, you're seated at Father's right hand as a son. 2 Timothy 1 verse 8 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. If you and I get into fear, well, you're going on a track on your own. We've all done this, getting worried, anxious about things. And then you have to say, hang on, I'm his son. I'm seated at his right hand. None of this has been given to me from God, and I'm not going to wear it. So look, God has not given us a spirit of fear, 2 Timothy 1:8, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You see, in Christ, I'm freed from the working of fear as he brings me to Abba Father, where I'm in the presence of the power of his love to keep me from the fear and the sound thinking for the answer. Can you see the sound mind is for the answer to the fear? Because if you get fear, your mind will get all tangled up with all kinds of fearful ideas, and it becomes a whole massive web of stuff, and you're just under it. Bondage. And so, but see, with Heavenly Father, you go straight to him. Any challenge, any crisis, any things that come along, straight to sit with him. He'll settle you immediately. He'll shower his love upon you. His power will surround you, and he'll clear your mind to think straight and clearly for a godly answer. Wow, it's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful, that is. It's 2 Timothy 1:7, by the way. 2 Timothy 1:7. So, praise God. I'm in the safety and security of God my Father, to make wise, good decisions from a basis of peace. Of peace. Praise God. We've all run around in the panic. We've all run around in the panic. And we don't need to run around in it any longer. Hallelujah. Sons of the Most High God. The scripture says that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ and in the Father, hidden there. You have to come to him and he'll give them to you. Can you see that? It's wonderful. Amen. So Romans 8 lists some things. We're finishing shortly. Romans 8 lists some things that we can have complete victory over through him who loved us. You see, as a son, you're seated right there in the love of Heavenly Father. He's drawn you by his love. He keeps you by his love there. Amen. So it lists some things. It says trouble. You can have trouble at home. You can have trouble in relationships. You can have trouble at work. You can have financial troubles. You can have health troubles. Straight into Father's presence. Straight into Father's presence. Nothing too difficult for you, Father. You have the answers here. I'm at peace with you. I'm your son. You're my father. Can you see it? You see, Romans 8 says that you'll have total victory over all of those situations through his love. Through his love, through his confidence, through his assurance. Thank you, Father. Distress, it says. He'll settle you out of all distress into peace. He knows how to settle you. Is that right? He knows how to comfort. He knows how to settle you. He knows how to minister to you. You're seated there as his son. It lists persecution. Persecution is not for the faith only. You could be persecuted by somebody at work. Is that right? Cause you a lot of trouble and a lot of hassle. And so you sit with Father. Father, what's the answer here? What's the right way you want me to handle this situation here, Father? You're my Father. You love me. I'm your son. I'm safe with you. None of this is a problem to us together. Did somebody say that you and God are a multitude or what is it? A majority? That's right. A majority to handle a situation. There was a friend of mine in the workplace. Somebody was trying to maneuver him out, and they worked all kinds of nasty things behind his back to try and oust him out of the company. And so he went to Father and he prayed to Father. And guess what happened? The one who was trying to oust him out was fired out. And my friend got his job. Got a promotion. So Father knows how to handle all these things. Praise God. It lists famine, shortage of any kind. Father knows what we have need of. And he knows how to add it to you. He knows how to add it to you. He'll say, right, do this and this, and he'll give you the answers. It's all about relationship. It's all about, so I don't go to him when there's the crisis. Live with him. Live with him day in, day out. Enjoy all the good times, all the blessed times. And if there's challenging times, you've got good times because you're with your Father and he's got the answer. Is it wonderful? It's a whole lifestyle. Praise God. Things to come. It lists in there in Romans 8. That's fear about the future. So are you and I going to look to our future through the eye of fear? Or are we going to look to our future through the Father's love and care for us? Hallelujah. You always care for me, Father. You always look after me. You've always provided everything that was needed. You've always given the wisdom when I needed the wisdom. You've never left me short for anything. I don't know famine in your presence, Father. Romans 8:15, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. You as a son living close to me will have the power, the love, and the sound mind. You'll be full of my wisdom, and you'll know what steps to take next. Father's perfect love casts all the fear out. And he knows how to order my steps. Praise God. Are we his workmanship? Did we hear that? And he has prepared the works in advance for us to walk in. He's already prepared the steps for me to walk into. And so he'll make clear to you what those steps are. Is it wonderful? Galatians 4:6. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. The spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of the working of sin and death. So the message is, live as God's son, free indeed from everything that would rob or destroy life. Is it wonderful? Thank you, Jesus. You just thank him now for the way he cares for you. Thank you, Jesus. Just be filled with thanksgiving. Thank him for everything. Everything you can think to thank him of, just live a life of thanksgiving. You'll be so filled with joy. The person who live a life of thanksgiving, throw the moaning out, throw the complaining out, throw the griping out, throw the criticism out, and fill yourself with thanksgiving to the Father. And you'll overflow with joy. You'll be kept in perfect peace. He'll have you marked out. He'll say, that son of mine is so thankful. That son of mine never stops thanking me. What more could we do for him? Father, what more could we do for him? What more could we do for her? Because she never stops thanking me. Can you see we're opening the wonderful door of thanksgiving to the Father? Praise you, Lord. We want to be so appreciative, Father, before you. So thankful for everything, Father, that it just opens floodgates of your blessings to us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Who do you like to give to most? Do you like to give to a thankful person? Or are you drawn to give to a complaining person? Which are you drawn to give to? Thankful. Well, see, let that be our. See, the scripture says, do everything without complaining. Dear Lord, I don't think I've started too well on that one. Do everything without complaining. But with thanksgiving and praise and appreciation and thanks. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, we ask you to bring great assurance, Father, to every one of us here today. That you, Father, love us, that we are your sons, and there is nothing that you will not do for us. Nothing that you will not do for us, Father. And so we pray, Lord, that each and every one, Lord, is just going to receive so magnificently from you, Lord. Over and above all that we could ask or even begin to imagine, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Somebody said recently that the Lord will only meet your needs. Totally wrong. Totally wrong there, by the way. What about the miracle catch of fish? What about sinking boats full of all the fish that were there? You see, the Lord loves to lavishly give. Lavishly give. Praise God. Thank you, G. I mean, when he fed the thousands, did he say, right now, 6,000 people there, 6,000 sardines and loaf divided into four between two. No, baskets left over. Baskets of food left over because of the generosity of the Father. That's your Father. That's your Father. That's the one who loves you. You're his son. You're his child. Praise God. Praise God. Remember, when we're saying sons, it's got nothing to do with male or female. It says there's neither male nor female, nor Jew nor Greek. All those labels are all gone. It's all, our identity is all now in Christ. Praise God. Us as sons of Father through Christ. Amen. Praise God. Be greatly blessed. We'd be delighted as